Hey, all you space cats, it's the most underground artist in the world, Mitch Miller, and this is the Black Hole Podcast. We're in season 5, and this is episode 4 of Trafnet. It's about this season is about a nonprofit I'm trying to form to tackle the traffic problem city by city, reducing emissions. I'll give you an update on that, but today I'm going to talk about a national security threat that I tried to bring to the attention of the government and that I vow we will address with the Trafnet nonprofit organization. A little update, I reached out to a law firm about trying to get a price or a plan to form the nonprofit. Referred them to the website, trafnet.org, and waiting to hear back from them. They did respond to my email form and asked for a daytime phone number, which I responded with, and we're waiting on a call from them. So hopefully that comes soon. But on to this national security threat. It involves autonomous vehicles and semi-autonomous vehicles. And it's a really kind of simple concept. Parts on vehicles fail. It's just a matter of time. All vehicles fail. Some of them are planned obsolescence. They are actually designed to fail. Unfortunately, that's the state of the economy that we live in. Even the ones that are planned to last the longest eventually fail due to corrosion and other anomalies. So vehicles fail. So we have a growing number of vehicles on the roads that have semi-autonomous features, like they park themselves, parallel park themselves, they have automatic applied brakes, radar, sonar, all kinds of stuff like that. We have actual autonomous vehicles that are being tested here in Pittsburgh that are self-driving vehicles, and we all know there's one major electric car company that has an autonomous feature to their vehicles. So we have these vehicles on the roads, and they're not really regulated very well, and they're going to fail. Just like brake lines get corroded from the salt from winters in Pennsylvania, the brake lines corrode after 20 years, and one time you step on the brakes and the brake pedal goes to the floor and you can't stop your vehicle. But because this happened so many times in the past, back in the 50s, the 40s, we have an emergency brake. There's a manual override, usually cable-enabled brake that the odds of both the cable snapping and the pressurized brake fluid corroding and getting a hole at the same time are low. So we have a manual override for if our brakes fail. So there's that with mechanical features to vehicles, but we have, I don't know how many different automobile manufacturers. They all have their own software for these autonomous features, and we're assuming that they're securing all this software. I think that's a little naive, actually, but the software is supposedly secure, and how would you have a blanket override system for all these different types of vehicles and their different softwares? So it's a little different. It's a little bit more difficult to fix the problem than just a hole in your brake line, and we need to put a backup brake system in. So the national security threat comes in here. These vehicles are going to fail. They've been on the roads for 5-10 years. We got maybe another 5 or 10 years before this happens, but the vehicles are going to fail. What does that look like? Is a vehicle going to engage into reverse while it's going 65 miles an hour down the interstate? Is the vehicle going to swerve erratically? I mean, we already had an issue with one auto manufacturer and a braking, or I think it was an accelerator system, where a few families actually already died because of these autonomous features. And we just kept building them. We just kept putting them on the roads. And here's what I think is going to happen. And it's these vehicles will fail, and there's going to be wrecks, and there's going to be deaths. And at the same time, you know, foreign entities or even domestic entities that want to, that could target, say, military leadership or political leadership or even private sector leadership, corporate leadership, they can hack these vehicles and cause accidents. So I think we're facing something on the horizon where these vehicles fail, legitimately fail due to corrosion and design flaws, but at the same time, we could have targeted hacking of vehicles and crashes caused by malicious intent, and when it's investigated, it just looks like it was a simple design flaw, a corrosion situation, and things like that, that targeted this leadership, and we could have a massive assassination, for lack of a better term, of all kinds of leadership in the United States or abroad, per se. So that's my national security concern. And I brought this to the attention, or I at least emailed every Pennsylvania legislator in the Pennsylvania Congress, or where, I guess it's called the General Assembly. I emailed all of them with this concern. My thought process is, why would I email my legislators in Washington? Why would I alert politicians in Washington? There's so many lobbyists in Washington that they, you know, these automobile manufacturers would just brush it under the table anyway. So I thought we could reach out to the Pennsylvania legislators, and I even propose that we form a group to investigate these semi-autonomous and autonomous vehicles by using the actual lawmakers of Pennsylvania's private vehicles. We could very low cost buy one vehicle that can be traded amongst these lawmakers while we investigate their private vehicle that has a semi-autonomous feature. And we would take that. I would try to find some experts that know how to hack different software and things like that, and we would break it down and figure out how hackable the vehicle is. And then I would form a list of how hackable, a list of vehicles and how hackable they are. And this can even apply to vehicles that don't have autonomous or semi-autonomous features. It could just be, can you hack the GPS? Can you hack the communications? Can you hack the speakers and listen in to conversations in these vehicles and things like that? So I think it's a useful list. I think it should be made, but I don't think automobile manufacturers want it to be made, but maybe they do. The thought process is, though, we could break it down and say, can a 10th grader hack this vehicle, or does it take 15 years of hacking different interfaces and things like that before you can get through into the autonomous features of this vehicle? So there would be different echelon or different you know, levels of hackability for each vehicle, and we'd have a master list of all the modern vehicles, at least in the past 10 years, that are on the road. So that was my thought process. I contacted the Pennsylvania lawmakers about 3 months ago, and I waited 3 months. I got very little response. One suggested that I talk to the to my legislators at the federal level. They kind of just said it's a federal issue, and they suggested I talk to the candidates for the Senate seat that's coming up, which I did after I got that advice. So I reached out to them, but I think it's a very serious national security issue, and I would like to work on this in addition to the magnet traffic reducing strategies. So you have my word. If I get funded for TrafNet, this will be a priority as well, is building this master list of hackable vehicles. How hackable is your vehicle? And you can, you know, if you donate to the cause, you can prescribe that in your donation. I want this used for the master list of hackable vehicles. And so, you know, that's where I'm at with that. You know, the TrafNet, I have lots of ideas for how we can do this, but I think this is important to create this list so that people know and are informed as to, can people listen in on their conversations in their vehicle, up to can the semi-autonomous or the autonomous features in your vehicle be hijacked. So if you're a grant writer or you know how to write grants and you'd like to join forces, I would very much appreciate it. Maybe we can get some grants from the government. If we can't get them to actually take action, maybe they'll give us some grants to investigate this. I'd like to partner up with you. You can name whatever terms you want. If you can secure money from the government for this purpose, that would be great, and we can tackle this since Pennsylvania is not going to act on it. I thought about reaching out to other state legislators, and that might be coming in the new year. So I'm not going to stop trying to contact people about this national security issue, but that's what I have. I think there's a horizon coming where it's going to be a gray area whether a vehicle legitimately crashed because of engineering flaws. And again, I'm not against autonomous vehicles, and I think that's because I have a disability, and I know others have physical disabilities that makes it difficult for them to drive. I'm not against autonomous vehicles and people being able to punch a button and go somewhere easily. I just think instead of rushing to make these things using the existing wireless network and becoming more addicted to this wireless tower network, I think we should take a step back and build it the smartest, most secure way possible. And that might involve burying the communication cables under the roadways so that the wireless communication happens just pointed straight down into the roadway, and that coordinates the vehicles and so on and so forth, rather than just giving the big wireless companies more and more leeway to take over the world, basically. So I'm not against autonomous vehicles. I just think we're not thinking about them. We're not taking a step back, and we're just building them, and these auto manufacturers think that's what people want because they can't parallel park or whatever the reason is. And it's a dangerous situation. It's much more dangerous than throwing road salt on the roadways and not worrying about how vehicle parts are going to corrode. I think it's engineered software that can be hacked, and we need to know exactly how hackable it is so that there's not an attack by a foreign entity or domestic entity on our so-called leadership. So that's today's podcast. You can contact me through my websites, Mitch4Mayor.com, PlotM.com, TrafNet.org, or AmaVoter.com. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Krabby Kelly's. If you're in Utica, Pennsylvania, stop by Krabby Kelly's for a drink. Ask for the black hole shot. Get all your STDs at Krabby Kelly's. That's snacks, tobacco, and drinks. If you're in Incheon, South Korea, stop into Liquor Burger. My friends there have a nice pub, and they have a lot of live music. Stop by Liquor Burger, tell them Mitch sent you. I'd like to thank Neon Grouse Embroidery and Screen Printing, where I am employed. If you need a logo or design screen printed or embroidered on a garment of clothing, contact me or use the website neongrouse.com. And of course, please subscribe to Disability TV. It's a YouTube channel, Disability TV, where I put hikes and things up. It's a fledgling media company I'm trying to start, and I'm going to have a short film coming out on there very soon. I just have to edit it It's a pretty good film. I think it's interesting. So check that out and subscribe to the channel. Thanks for listening, and join me next time.